This is K-True on 96.1 KTRU LP Houston and streaming live on your phone and on the web at ktru.org. Back to you, Ian.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Ian Kleppinger, and welcome back to Against the Grain on KTRU 96.1 FM, the Rice University student-run radio show where we break down everything going on in the world of Rice athletics and the broader sports scene from across the city of Houston. You can listen to us every Saturday, bright and early at 8 a.m. right here on KTRU 96.1 FM, or stream all of our episodes anytime by searching for KTRU Sports on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram and TikTok at KTRU Sports in order to stay in the loop. We've always got exciting stuff in the works, and we do not want you to miss out. If you have a question for us, feel free to DM us on either aforementioned platform or drop a note to ktrusports@gmail.com. That's K-T-R-U Sports, all lowercase, at gmail.com. We want to know what you want to know so we can answer it on the air. We've done it in the past, and it was a blast. Throughout the next hour, you will be hearing from a team of student hosts. I will be getting us started with our first segment, Around the Hedges. Here at Rice University, it is common to say that the greater city of Houston, is beyond the hedges. So to start off each episode of Against the Grain, we go around the hedges for a quick review of the biggest sports moments of the past week from both Rice and the city of Houston so that you can keep up to date with everything going on with the Rice Owls. Big news on the tennis court this week. Both the men's and women's tennis teams qualified for the NCAA tournament. The men got an auto bid after winning the American Athletic Conference Championship Tournament, and the women got a at-large bid after losing in the semis and having an outstanding ranking following their regular season. The men are the fourth seed in their four-team regional. They will play Texas A&M tomorrow at 1 p.m., or I guess today at the time you're listening to this, at 1 p.m. on Saturday, May 3rd, in College Station. If they win, they get the winner of Baylor and Nebraska on Sunday. Shout out the Cornhuskers. If you know, you know. The women's team was the third seed in their regional. They took on the Gauchos of UC Santa Barbara in College Station earlier on Friday, and they lost 4-3 in a heartbreaker after a tough doubles performance and then a dogfight all through the singles leg. They were just bested there by the Gauchos, who will advance to play the winner of Quinnipiac and Texas A&M. So both Rice Owls went to the College Station Regional. Texas A&M is apparently a bit of a tennis powerhouse. The Rice women will finish their season with a 17-7 record on the year. Great showing from them, especially to be able to get an at-large bid in the tournament and almost get that first round win. Great, great season from the Rice women's tennis team. We are excited to see what they will be up to next year, and we will be here to keep you posted on Against the Grain. If we transition, kind of keeping with our theme of tennis, men's tennis athlete Arthus de la Bassetiere from Reims, France. He's a senior, and he won the Bob Quinn Award this past week, which is given to the top male athlete at Rice University. He won 10 singles matches at the number one spot for the Rice men over the course of the past year and earned 14 total doubles wins and was nationally ranked for most of the season with his partner Kabir Kapasi. He was a selection to the all-academic team in the AAC and the CSC academic all-district team. He's a Rice scholar athlete, and he is graduating with a degree in mechanical engineering with a focus in aerospace next week. So a weapon in the classroom and on the tennis court, no doubt. The winner for best female athlete was Mikaela van der Westhuizen. I'm sorry if I butchered your name. She's a track and field junior from South Africa. She is the two-time All-American and All-Conference selection and the reigning javelin champion for the AAC women's track and field. She placed third at the 2024 NCAA Outdoor Championships and currently ranks top 50 in the world after getting a silver medal in the 2022 African Track and Field Championships. And she is a two-time All-Academic as a sports medicine and exercise physiology major. Great stuff in the classroom and in the sporting arena from both of those outstanding Rice Owls. Over to the Lynx, the golf course. We had some great award selections by the two top golfers on the Rice men's team. Lucas Boandel and Daniel Zhu are both named All-Conference. Boandel is the best golfer on the team statistically. He leads with a 71.3 stroke average per 18 holes. He's shot 20 total rounds under par this year and 10 rounds in the 60s. He's the second golfer in Rice history to do so. Great stats from him. And Daniel Zhu won AAC Freshman of the Year. He tied with Boandle to win the Bayou City Collegiate College Classic. The Bayou City Collegiate Classic, Collegiate College would be redundant, after shooting 12 under, both of them did. So very impressive in that tournament performance. And he placed 10th at the Cabo Collegiate Tournament, which we covered a couple months ago. And he beat the number one and number three ranked players in the country in that tournament. Outstanding stuff for a freshman at Rice. And both of those golfers earned bids to the Golf NCAA Regional Tournament Regionals. They are headed to Bremerton, Washington to play May 12th to 14th at the Gold Mountain Golf Club, which is hosted by none other than the Washington Huskies. They are the first Rice individual golfers to qualify for the tournament since before the COVID-19 pandemic. And Rice is one of just four schools to send multiple individuals to regionals. They are joining the likes of Arkansas State, Loyola Marymount, in the UT El Paso Miners. So powerhouse athletic schools right there. If either of the Owls perform well enough, they will advance to the NCAA Championship on May 23rd to 28th. That would be in Carlsbad, California, in sunny SoCal. So keep an eye peeled and keep Boandle and Zoo in your mind and watch some golf and root for the Owls. That is going to do it for us this week. It's a brief one on the Round the Hedges. Chloe is going to start our end of year recap with a new game that we're calling Whose Take Is It Anyway? Producer Chloe.
Thank you, Ian. So I will read a quote or a take that one of us made during the year, and then our panel of reactors, Jacob, Brandon, David, and Julian, will take a guess at who said the take. After the culprit is revealed, we will have 20 seconds for them to defend their take. And then our game show horn will sound, so don't go over time. The first take that we have is Rudy Gobert does not have the skill set to play against the small ball. Probably will help the Lakers more than will help the Wolves. Who do we think it is?
So I actually know who this is, so I'll let my fellow reactors try and take a guess at it.
I know who it is, too. There's only one person in this room that has this much of a hating attitude. Poor Rudy Gobert. You do not need to disrespect him that bad. Like, my guy didn't play that bad. But, yeah, there's only one person, and I know who that is, so I'm going to pass it on to you, too.
Honestly, I could have said this, but I do know. And it was not me.
All right, well, do we got a guess then if we've got some people who are certain then? Either David, Jacob?
This was... Actually, Jacob, why don't you take this one?
The one and only Max Alexander Basurto.
There we go. Try to defend your take, buddy.
Wait, let's roll the clip and let's see who it is.
My bad.
Skill set to take advantage of this small ball. Rudy Gobert will probably help the Lakers more than he'll help the Wolves in this series.
Dang.
Yeah. I'm still going to defend my take, even though he absolutely dominated the Lakers. Rudy Gobert is a bum offensively, but unfortunately, the Lakers are even worse defensively, and they absolutely embarrass themselves.
All right. Moving on to our second take. We're going to briefly talk about Rice men's basketball. If you watched it, my condolences. Who do we think said this statement?
There's only one person who actually talks about Rice sports on this podcast. So I think I have my guess.
I'm looking conflicted. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know if I was here for this episode.
You were not. I'm feeling Garrett.
Yeah, I'm feeling Garrett too.
Looks like a Garrett statement.
Let's roll the clip and see if you guys are right.
We're going to briefly talk about the Rice men. If you watched it, my condolences. It was me.
Who was me? Ian.
Me is Ian, who is in the producer chair via a prison that's not entirely of my own making. this was after their AAC conference tournament play-in game against Charlotte. So if you watched that game, then you know exactly what I meant, that 12-13 seeded matchup. I feel like this is not to hate on Rice. I am a loyal Rice fan, as everyone in this room knows, but man, that was tough to watch. And we expect better from the Owls on the hardwood, I must say.
This was not the year of Rice men's basketball, but there's always next year. Moving on to take number three. It's too bad Mike Williams has just left a better team. My sleeper pick, the New York Jets. They're going to make the playoffs. Who said this?
You know for a fact that it's not a Jets fan. Just from the fact that as a Jets fan, we're never making the playoffs. So it was absolutely... Does anyone not know who it is?
There's only one clown that would say this level of take.
It's Julian
and
Poirier,
say it with this much confidence. Come on, like, you are completely overreacting. Julian Poirier, what are you doing?
Too bad. Mike Williams, now a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers, has just left the better team in my sleeper pick of the New York Jets. They are going to make the playoffs. They play
3-6. They would have to win just about every single game left on their schedule.
Yeah, that one was pretty bad, wasn't it? I wanted to be an A-Rod believer so bad. I really did. But unfortunately, it looks like he passed me some of the stuff that he was doing in the offseason, and it had my mind sort of going in loops. Never going to believe in Aaron Rodgers ever again.
Probably the right choice, as the Jets fans here know. I think we were 3-6 at the time of that quote, which just makes it
even worse.
Even crazier.
I believed in the rally. But yeah, no,
came up just short there. All right, and for our last quote, this is more of a quote than a take. I am the ultimate ball knower. No one knows ball like me.
Ooh, that could be anybody.
No, there's only one person with that level of attitude.
No, there's plenty.
I already see Brandon looking over who that is. I collected this quote myself. I won't say who it is, but definitely I know who this one is.
I think I want to say this as Brandon because he says stuff like this.
No.
I honestly don't know who this is.
No, I know who it is.
I think it's Garrett, but it could be any of us.
It was after one of the games, right?
Yep, it's Garrett after the Duke
game. Yeah.
Okay. I remember that specific moment. Wow. Garrett, anything to say for yourself?
Well, I guess we're waiting on the clip.
You don't know ball. You're a bum.
I'm the ultimate ball knower. I'm the ultimate ball knower. Ball knower. Ball knower. The Big 12 is so mid. Texas Tech is not good.
That's insane.
The root of all our struggles in Dallas football for the past 30 years, Jerry Jones.
I hope Los Angeles is grateful for receiving the league's most fun-loving, most talented, and most clutch superstar. I will forever be a Luka fan.
All right, well, I couldn't hear that, but I think I got the gist. Dang, Chloe, that was a fire edit. Shout out to you. Not gonna lie, I am the ultimate ball knower. Most of those takes were fire. Luka trade was awful. Duke was the best team this year. They just didn't close it out. I've been cooking all along. I'm the ultimate ball knower. I stick by it.
Natalie is not listening to this podcast, Garrett. You have to stop.
Well, everyone, that was a great segment of Whose Take Is It Anyways? Hopefully we run that back sometime soon. But now it is time for another great segment. It is our annual award show, the first ever and possibly last ever K-True Sports Awards. If you watch the Oscars in March, our show will be surprisingly similar. We will be playing off yappers who take way too long to accept their awards. We will be making questionable decisions after not actually watching everything. And most of all, we will be featuring an aggressively pale Irish host and myself. Shout out to Conan O'Brien. Also, that joke would work better if y'all could see me. So today, we'll be giving out awards for things such as the best take of the year, the worst take of the year, aka the Julian Puerto Award, and even the best troll. I, Garrett Lowe, along with Max Baserto, will be your host for what may just be the best 15 minutes of your life. Let's get into it, Max.
Thank you, Garrett. Our first award is going to be for Best Troll. We have a lot of rage baiters on this podcast.
A lot of baiters.
And so many great nominations. The first one, April 5th, David tells Jacob, why don't you bounce on it, Jacob? The context, Jacob said he would bounce off Chloe's idea. Our next nomination, November 7th, Andrew on Julian's imposter performance, in which Julian allowed me to win the imposter game. Andrew responds with, you think you're Albert Einstein, Sherlock Holmes. On February 4th, another notable Jalen Green debate. Fox proclaims Jalen Green should be strapped to a rocket and sent to space. Again on February 4th, Garrett announces Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson played together at Arkansas back in the 60s and won a national championship, and proceeds to point out before integration. Really good title win there. On March 1st, Andrew, once again, another nomination for him.
Fox is a demon.
Proclaims, Chris Middleton may look like a fish, but he is a bucket. And then finally, a bit less of a troll, but another nomination. Garrett proclaims that he has a lot of faith in the Blue Devils, and they're going to win it all. Who do you want to talk about now, you bums? I proceed to tell him that we need to talk about Florida, your eventual national champions.
Good take by Max. All right. Those are your nominees for the best troll, and the winner is...
Susan David, and this dude's dropping strong.
I was dropping dimes bucket after bucket, bro. What do you mean?
We lost! We lost!
That is... Okay, whatever.
Well, Andrew's not here to get the award. Julian, do you want to speak on this as the victim of this comment?
I just want to say that the people at the table around me do not know how to play imposter still. It's really chess, not checkers for me. I'm the only one who knows how to play the game. Y'all are yet to get on my level. So we'll be back next season very strong with imposter.
Thank you, Sherlock Holmes.
I think Garrett might have got snubbed with integration there, but
I agree. I think that's the one that should have won, because like that's really a kill shot. Like, no mercy.
As always, award shows come with their controversy. Hey.
Talk to the Academy. Take it up with us next year. All right, second award, Max. You want to talk about this one again?
Yep. Award two. We have most heartbreaking moment. Now, some of you may be thinking, what heartbreaking moments were there this year? But there's only one nomination. I'll throw it over to Garrett.
Yeah, just play the clip, man. Come on.
For our many longtime listeners, you know I've been a lifelong Dallas Mavericks fan. And if you haven't been living under a rock, you know that the lifeblood of our franchise, Luka Doncic, was traded away from the team on the night of February 1st.
He's sold the soul of the franchise, and we are done. We have given up 10 years of this massive superstar, this person who is one of the few top dogs in the NBA, for someone who is 30 years old and injury prone and just not as good of a player.
I hope Los Angeles is grateful for receiving the league's most fun loving, most talented, and most clutch superstar. I will forever be a Luka fan.
Wow. Painful. That was painful.
I think we had two almost tears from both you guys on that one.
Yeah. We did. Me and David, we won this award, but we lost this battle, man. This still stings.
I'm still asking the same question. Why should Nico not be fired upon?
Yep. All right. That'll do it for the most heartbreaking moment. Of course, the Luka Doncic trade. Nico, if I see you on the street, just know that sounds a-coming.
Speaking of angry moments, our next award is Best Crash Out in Sports and on our staff. Emotions run high in and out of the studio, and we have a couple great nominations. The first of which is Ian. Once again, we go back to February 4th. Ian, discussing the Liam Cohen situation with the Jacksonville Jaguars, everyone was very confused. Ian's confusion boiled over, and he exclaimed, "What in the actual frick is going on here?" One of the biggest Ian crash out moments we have seen over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Something that we will probably see in the future considering how terrible their organization is. And then, on March 1st, once again, Garrett and Fox involved in a high emotion display in their Guess the Player trilogy. And now we have the winner.
Let me hear you who you think it is.
I got no idea.
Oh, my
Guess
God.
I don't know.
It's the one and only Dallas Mavericks legend, Warriors legend, Sacramento Kings legend, Harrison Barnes!
No!
Oh! I picked a player on your favorite team, and I walked in here and just smacked you in the mouth, young
man. Whoa!
Congratulations, Garrett.
Thank you. I'm having a good night so far, it seems.
It's almost like you chose these answers.
Yeah, I know. Hey, man, y'all wanted to give me the first award, too, and I wouldn't take it. Yeah, that was a good moment. Fox laid my nuts right on your face, and I beat you and Guess the Player. Undefeated, never lost. We move.
That was a great ball knower moment from Garrett there, but our next award is for the worst ball knower moment. We've had an incredible amount of takes on this show, and oftentimes our lack of ball knowledge shines through when we go back and look at what we said. So on November 7th, discussing NFL midseason awards, Julian and I put a couple teams on potential fraud watch. Here's what Julian had to say. "I didn't think this was that huge of a take. I'm going to put the Philadelphia Eagles on fraud watch, your eventual Super Bowl champions." On March 15th, producer Chloe exclaimed that, "I think this year we will see a lot more parity in the women's game. More upsets." I'm a little confused here. We have more upsets, but more parity.
No. That makes sense. Like, the bottom teams are closer to the top teams. It's more parity. Like, everyone's closer.
Give this guy the award, bro.
Okay. And then proceeded in the tournament. Every 1-6 seed wins. So not really that many upsets for you, unfortunately. Then, once again on March 15th, discussing the NCAA tournaments, Garrett has a take on this Texas Tech team that made it to the Elite Eight and eventually lost in a heartbreaker to Florida. He said, "Texas Tech is not good. Texas Tech is so not good." On April 19th, I did say that Rudy Gobert does not have the skill set to play against the small ball. Probably will help the Lakers more than he'll help the Wolves. He proceeded to drop 20-20 and just look like prime Bill Russell in the closeout game, saving the Wolves from the worst playoff three-point shooting night in NBA history. And back to November 7th, Julian once again, "It's too bad Mike Williams has just left a better team. My sleeper pick, the New York Jets." Julian with two nominations, both from the same NFL episode. Here's your winner.
I didn't think this was that huge of a take, but when I was bringing this up in our good old pre-production meeting, I was hit with a lot of backlash about the Philadelphia Eagles. People seem to be a lot higher on them than at least I am. To me, the problem, like, I can just say Nick Sirianni and get my point across. Nick Sirianni, for me, just when we get to the playoffs, it's going to end up being a problem. I can see it already.
I before the show started, I was defending this take still. And don't get it twisted, I was as happy as anybody, Max Bacerto especially knows this, as anybody for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. But in my defense, if you looked at the Nick Sirianni crash out by shaving his head, I think I was justified in saying that the Eagles were probably headed in the wrong direction as opposed to the right direction. Things seems like things sort of, snapped into place at the right time for them. And they gave me one of the happiest days of my life by beating the Kansas City Chiefs.
Unfortunate, Julian. Happens to the best of us. Now we go to our final award of the evening. It is time for Take of the Year. Max, run us through the nominees.
We have four nominees for this award, three of which came from the same episode. March 15th, our NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament preview. In reference to the women's tournament, Garrett said, with my infinite women's basketball knowledge, why are we not taking UConn, your eventual national champions? Then, on the men's side of things, before the SEC tournament semifinal, I proclaimed that Florida was going to win the tournament. Then they win the SEC tournament. Everyone gets hyped on them, and they eventually win the whole championship. And in their route to winning in the final, they played Houston, a team some people on this podcast deem to be chokers. But our producer, Chloe, had a lot of faith in them and told us that they would go on an extremely long run. And then the one that wasn't from March 15th, on April 19th, in yet another Jalen Green debate, David uses his analytics and statistical knowledge to show us that Jalen Green is terrible against the Golden State Warriors. He has been terrible, but I will still defend him because he scored 38 in game two. Here's your winner.
I think Florida is going to have an incredible tournament this year. I think we talk about Duke's depth. I think Florida's the deepest team there is in college basketball. They can go four or five guys deep just in the front court.
Yeah, I'll give you all a little context because Max cooked on this one. He was right. This was before they were like a huge favorite in most people's eyes. It was during the SEC tournament when everyone was high on Auburn. Max, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, I mean, some of us just have the vision to, you know, see past the media hype and really see who's actually good on the basketball court. Florida showed crazy amounts of depth, rotating four different big men in every game. Their guard play was fantastic. All things I said before they won some of the best games.
All right, and over to me for the PSA. What a wonderfully organized episode we have today. Give a manatee gift adoption from Save the Manatee Club. 34 real manatees are up for adoption in their Adopt a Manatee program. That's real nice. Funds help with education and conservation efforts. Each person who adopts receives a full-color photo, biography, adoption certificate, and more. Call toll-free at 1-800-432-JOIN-5646 or visit savethemanatee.org. And for this week's promo, we have genetic memory is a memory present at birth that exists in the absence of sensory experience. At K-True, the genetic memory show is a collage of sounds that exist in the absence of rationality. It's abstract, experimental, avant-garde noise. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it feels just right. Monday nights from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And now I will be kicking it over to the next part of our show, which will be an interview with our producer, Chloe, as it is her last show in Against the Grain. I will kick it over to Garrett and Ian, who will be conducting this interview with her.
Thank you, Julian. That is correct. I feel like a lot of our listeners at home have probably heard us allude to producer Chloe as the
woman in the shadows,
the method behind the madness, the one making all the magic happen, whose voice you occasionally but seldom hear interjecting all of our fantastic sports takes that we just recapped. And it really could not be possible without. We actually just realized, like last week, just how much stuff she did for the show. I don't know that we were fully as appreciative as we needed to be throughout the year of all the logistics and all of the prep and all of the just like sheer work and hours and teaching herself of new skills to produce the show that producer Chloe has picked up over the course of the year after her original idea to found the show. So lots of credit needs to be given to producer Chloe.
Wow.
And so we just wanted to give the folks at home an opportunity to, you know, I think
Learn about
Chloe. Give her a little bit of a farewell tour.
Agreed.
Get her a little more time on the microphone. She's very humble, likes to kind of stay back a little bit. And we are forcing her into the bright lights now. So, Garrett, why don't you kick us off?
All right, Chloe, we've got a couple questions ready for you. We know you haven't had time to look at these, so we're just going straight off the dome here for you. First of all, obviously, Ian mentioned it. You were the founder. Why did you initially want to start the K-True Against the Grain show?
So I could sit back and watch a bunch of guys talk some sports. No, I'm just kidding. I thought it'd be really fun to have... We have such a great sports community here at Rice, but oftentimes there's no way to publicize that. There's no way to hone your skills. There's no way to distribute it. So that was something I was always interested in. Obviously, I love sports. And so once I kind of realized that K-True was going to be getting into radio shows again, I thought, wow, this is a perfect opportunity. And then I was just very glad that all of y'all were interested and thought it was a good idea and actually made things happen. So.
Had you tried to start one before in, like, your prior years before senior year?
My freshman year, I heard about K-True and I was like, wow, like, this sounds like such a great opportunity. I applied to be a DJ. I went to some shadow shifts and then the person I was supposed to shadow did not show up.
That's
I was like, oof, that's rough. I had talked... But there wasn't really a radio show infrastructure. I think some things had happened in the past with like K-True and Rice Athletics, and there was some friction there. And so, more on that later. But that, now everyone's all good. Everyone's all chill with each other. So it seemed like this year was going to be the year to make it happen. And once I heard that it was a real possibility, I was like, okay, here we go. Let's do it.
Love to hear it. So kind of piggybacking off of that, how much have the episodes that we are now producing in mass and sending out to the world aligned with your original expectations? Because I'm sure that you had an image in your head of like, oh, I'm going to produce this show and this is what it's going to be like. And then you got all us bozos in a room and we made an episode. So how did that align with what you expected and how content are you with that?
No, you guys are great. You do a great job. You guys keep me on my toes sometimes, though, because... Especially some of y'all, like Fox, he got 8 nominations for like basically most out of pocket comments. So you never know.
Fox
what,
catching strays. He's not even here.
I know. I feel bad. Yeah, he's no way to defend himself right now. But never know exactly how things are going to shake out. I think as we've gone through this year, we've gotten a lot better at smoothing over some transitions and executing segments, so I'm really proud of how far we've come as a show.
We've gotten better at transitions.
I don't know that today is our best example of transitions.
Today was a little rough, a little rocky, but...
If you couldn't tell at home after we fixed it a little bit in post and or you just weren't paying that close of attention, we've botched basically every transition.
Every single one, without fail.
you live and you learn. Chloe, do you have a favorite segment from all of these fantastic episodes we've produced and or a favorite one-liner that someone has had that may or may not have been shouted out already on the show?
Today was great because it was kind of like a walk down memory lane in terms of like what all of our best hits were. I have a soft spot for the Super Bowl episodes. Like that to me was felt, at least in my perspective, like when things were really starting to come together for us as a show. I saw that they went so well. Like we just had good chemistry and I thought that those were just some great episodes. Anytime we talk about Jalen Green and the Rockets, you know,
cinema
Rockets are gonna go off. You know, it is a firework show. So those are some of the top ones. In terms of favorite lines, it's hard to choose one. We had one that never made it to air with David saying that he loves cougars. So that one is lost for time, but will forever live on in our minds.
Yeah, that was a great line by David. That would have been in the awards segment for sure if it had made it to air. Next question here. Obviously, you're producing this show. You were the founder. You had your own football podcast as well. Why is sports media so important to you, Chloe?
So fun. Who doesn't love talking about sports? Like, to be able to do that for a profession or something that's public just seems like a great opportunity. So as much time as I can spend doing the things I love, I feel like, why not? Let's go do it.
We're rolling in it here at Against the Grain, bringing the big bread. My bad. All right, Chloe, so since this is so important to you, what do you foresee happening in the future of the show, or what do you hope happens? What do you hope that we are able to pull off post your graduation as we attempt to not completely fumble the handoff that you're going to be giving us?
No, y'all are going to crush it. I was just having a conversation with one of the faculty members here at K-True, and he asked me the same exact thing, like, what do you want to see happen next year? And I think a lot of the same in terms of the production of the episodes, but just getting our name out there a little bit more. You know, I think the Rice community at large would enjoy our conversation. So I think getting some more eyes on us would be a great start. And if we can get another big name guest, that wouldn't be too shabby either.
Boswell, come on the show, man. We're
ready. Exactly. <for you. laughs> And the other task that you guys have for next year is to find a new female anchor / section member.
Yeah.
Brandon, you have something?
Brandon has a lot.
There are rumors that someone's interested as joining us as a new female anchor next year.
Okay. All right. I like the sound of that.
Is that what the streets are saying?
Streets are saying.
All right.
Very clandestine over there.
My ear's down to the streets as well. I've been hearing that Julian's talking to a lot of freshman girls about joining the show.
Julian, do you have anything to say for yourself?
I have no comment.
That was insanely out of pocket. You might see that one on the award show next May. Oh my goodness, Garrett! Wow, fireball coming from that side of the table.
I kid, man. Come on, Julian's my guy. Let's keep it moving. Chloe, aren't you gonna miss this? I mean, come on. Why are you graduating?
If only I could have more time.
Yeah. All right. So you are graduating this year, sadly, just a week away now. What is next in life for producer Chloe? What are your plans after this?
So I just got an email like 5 minutes before the show started about a potential job offer. So TBD on that. So that could be something. But I think for the time being, as I'm kind of figuring out what job I'm going to accept. Just trying to enjoy the last week here, because it's like weird when you're graduating, you're like, wait, all these people that I see all the time, I'm like not going to see anymore. So just spending time with my friends, and then post-grad have a few travel plans, and then hopefully we'll be starting a shiny new job. So
what are the travel plans in store? What do we got lined up?
Yeah, so first, I'll go back home to New York City for a little bit. And then I think we're trying to arrange some European extravaganzas. So we'll see what that entails. I think Italy and that region is kind of the main area of interest right now. So,
are you going to visit our Russian listener? Loyal listener.
I forgot about the Russian
episode.
Listener.
Yeah.
Were there two, or were there two from India?
I think one from Russia, two from India.
Okay.
You know, we've been in correspondence over the last few months.
Yeah,
so
keep an eye out on socials for Chloe flicked up with the Russian listener.
So we're gonna make some socials hits together. It's gonna be pretty awesome.
Chloe, straight from the battlefield.
All right, Chloe, in these aforementioned kind of shiny jobs, what are you looking to do? What do these jobs entail, and what do you want to do? What do you want to make of Chloe Singer's existence on this? On this earth,
yeah, things that keep me up at night as well.
Yeah, my bad, I took that one level further than maybe we were supposed to. But answer that how you will.
Right now, there's kind of two main tracks that I've been pursuing. Stuff kind of along this lines of doing production. That's kind of would be like an ideal fit. Obviously, if I got to continue doing this, producing radio shows, podcasts, things of that nature. So I'm applying to a few roles in that ilk, and then some other kind of like random, like just business stuff. So I'll let you guys know once the dust has settled, what I end up doing.
Okay, Chloe, we often see the like NBA player podcast where it's like them and then just some random white dude who's like their producer. If you could be that for any NBA, NFL, MLB player,
What a question from G-Lo.
The first thing that comes to mind is the Roommates podcast with Jalen Brunson and Hart. I grew up a huge Villanova fan. My dad's from Villanova. So to see those guys and then to play for my hometown team in the Knicks, it's just kind of a perfect fit. I already know that they have a white guy producer, yeah. So my work is cut out for me to try to edge him out, but that would probably be an ideal spot.
I like it. Shout out the Nova Knicks.
Yeah. Shout out Knicks.
Just got the win
just
over
the
Pistons,
win,
too.
Yeah. Great stuff there. All right, Chloe, to kind of finish it off here, do you have closing thoughts you would like to share? The floor is yours to us, to our audience, to any Rice Owls out there, to the sports world, to anybody. This is your time to shine.
I guess just thank you to everyone in this room, first and foremost, because without you, there wouldn't be a show, and you guys put in so much work every week to make it happen, and I'm super excited to see what you all get up to next year, so you'll know that, what is it, if there's only one listener out there, that listener is me, so there will at least be one listener, and then to anyone who's taken the time to listen to an episode, that's greatly appreciated. It really goes a long way. If you sent in a question to our mailbag, just any sort of engagement, it helps us know what we're doing well, what could be improved, and ultimately, that's why we do it. We do it for ourselves because it's a great experience, but we also do it for the listeners to hopefully provide some entertainment and levity and occasionally some ball knowledge. So
very occasionally. Yeah.
We have our moments as we've recapped.
Oh, yeah, we have our moments, good and bad, for sure.
As does any good sports show.
Yeah, but thank you, Producer Chloe.
Thank you, Producer Chloe.
And thank you for just everything in general. Obviously, Ian mentioned it, but I don't think we really fully appreciated like everything that you did for the show, everything that you do every week to get it ready, everything in post, just like organizing us in pre-production meetings, which can definitely be a challenge given the way that we are.
Yeah, we can be tough to organize.
Absolutely. But we really appreciate everything you've done this past year, and we're for sure going to miss you next year.
Thank you, guys.
With that being said, why don't we get started on our final predictions segment of the year? Chloe, you're hosting this one. What am I doing?
Hosted by none other than Chloe Singer, the final stop on the farewell tour. Take it away.
All right. I know this is so bittersweet. So our last predictions of the 2024-2025 school year. First, let's do a little bit of a standings update. We have tallied up all the predictions results from this year, and we are going to give out medals to our top three prediction people and predictors. There we go. There we go. And an honorable mention to, let's just say who it is, to Jacob. Jacob went 14-4 in his time here at Against the Grain. Only a half year, so didn't get full credit for his predictions, but if he stays the course, maybe next year will be the year for Lozano. And in third place, our bronze medalist, we have Mr. Julian Puerto.
Just want to say, for someone who supposedly has so many bad takes, to be third in predictions, says something, doesn't it? Cherry-picked takes throughout the episode. Good job, boys.
Julian got exactly two-thirds of his predictions correct with a final winning percentage of 66.67%. And in second place for our silver medal, we've got Brandon!
Wow. Yeah, similarly, I feel like I catch a lot of strays with having bad takes. I want to say most of the time it's on things I probably shouldn't be talking about, but I love talking, so I talk about it. I talk about it anyways. But I think with the things that I actually know, I would say I have some decent ball knowledge. And I also want to highlight the fact that, not officially, but I'm pretty sure I have the most underdog picks. If I had to guess, that's where most of it comes from. So I know my dogs. Thank you to everyone that put me in this position. And let's pass it on to our champion for this first season.
And without further ado, Our champion is Max.
My bad.
I don't want to have a Jason Tatum claim to my first title, so I'm not going to do anything too corny, you know. Don't want to copy anyone, but I do want to shout out everyone with double-digit losses for inspiring me to not have a record that looks like that. 25-9, couldn't have double-digit losses on only 34 picks, so had to keep getting them right.
Watch him go 0-3 in the ones we're about to do.
Max finished with a win percentage of 73.5%. Pretty impressive on a year's worth of picks. So we can't leave you hanging. We can't do an episode without giving you some new predictions. So even though this is our last one, we're going to give you a few things to look out for in this next week, starting with Clippers Nuggets Game 7. Who we got? Let's start with Ian.
I am going to take the Clippers. I think they're more well-rounded, and they have been playing the playoff basketball that people were wondering if they could play in order to make it happen, and I think they get it done in Game 7.
I am going to take the Clippers. Like, we've seen James Harden be back. He's been playing some phenomenal basketball. Probably has to do with certain type of entertainment establishments that are available in L.A., but yeah, give me the Clippers.
Yeah, I just saw Brandon Google Clippers Nuggets. So that tells you how much ball knowledge he has. I'm gonna take the
I
Nuggets.
I wanted to know where it was being played. That's why.
All right, we're just gonna gloss over the fact that he mentioned the strip clubs in LA. But okay, I'm gonna say Nuggets win this one. They got the best player in the series.
I know some of you are thinking I'm the champ, so let's put his picks in a parlay. Don't do that. I don't even trust my own picks. I quit betting, but I'm still going to take the Clippers. Give me James Harden to have a huge day.
I'm actually going to go against my series pick where I took the Clippers in 7. I'm going to take the Nuggets here. Sort of like Garrett, I just think the best player in this series is Jokic, and he's going to make something happen.
Give me the Clippers. They're going to redeem L.A. I have big hopes for them. Hopefully they don't fail me.
When Jamal Murray is going, the Nuggets are a different team. If he is a monster game, they probably end up winning this Game 7, but I think the Clippers all around are a bit better, so I'm going to go with the Clips here. And moving from probably the best series in the NBA first round, we'll transition to the best series in the NHL first round, which is the Stars versus the Avalanche. Game 7, Ian, who do you think is coming out?
I will take the Stars. I don't watch hockey, so that's all I have to say about that. Brandon?
It's been a phenomenal series, so evenly matched. And honestly, I think whoever wins this game is going to end up being the representative from the Western Conference. But at home, I think the Stars have a slight advantage, so give me the Stars.
That city is light polluted to all hell, so the only stars you can see are on the ice. Give me the Stars.
Nathan MacKinnon, Kate MacKinnon, Dallas stay winning. This is Stars in 5.
Dallas sports will continue to have a rough year. Give me the Avs.
Yeah, keep on piling the misery onto Dallas fans. Give me the Avs and Nathan MacKinnon with Cale Makar to win this series and then win the cup.
I don't know a lot about hockey, but I don't doubt Max Pacioretty's ball knowledge. Give me the Avs.
I believe the Stars will be out. I got the Stars taking Game 7. And last but not least, we have a very special event coming up later today on Saturday. That is today, which is the Kentucky Derby. So we will now predict who we think will be the champion of the horses in the Kentucky Derby. Ian?
Give me Sovereignty, one of the higher odds horses to win, a great name, but not the favorite, just all-around athlete. Can see him getting it done.
Wow, great, great pick. So Sandman, who's one of the favorites, crazy random ball knowledge pick, is in post-17. They've never won ever in the history of the Kentucky Derby, so it will not be Sandman. Give me American Promise out of post gate number 5.
I'm taking Luxor Cafe. It sounds like an $11 latte, but I think they're going to win it.
Amen. 8 Arkansas Derby winners have gone on to win the Kentucky Derby. Sandman's about to make it 9. Give me the Sandman.
This horse just stands out to me as I just received my gold medal for winning the predictions. I'm going to go with Chunk of Gold.
Max would know everything about horses, wouldn't he? I'm going to take the favorite in journalism. That is, after all, what we do. It's chalk, really, at the end of the day.
I'm not even sure if I'm going to be pronouncing this horse's name right, but give me Beza.
I will also be taking journalism. They are the favorite, and they just won the Santa Anita Derby, which is generally a good sign. And we're all in the journalism business here, so seems fitting. Now, this is our last episode of the year, but don't worry.
I'll be back.
I mean, I won't be back, but the show will be back in the fall. So be ready, be prepared. Come around next August, September. We will be releasing episodes again. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening here on KTRU 96.1 FM. If you miss us, because let's face it, September's a long time away, go back and you can stream all of our episodes anytime by searching for KTRU Sports on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Amazon Music. To stay in the loop, go ahead and follow us at KTRU.sports on Instagram and at KTRU Sports on TikTok. We've always got exciting stuff in the works, and we don't want you to miss out. If you have a question for the staff, feel free to DM us on either of those platforms or drop a note to ktrusports@gmail.com. That is ktrusports@gmail.com, all lowercase. We want to know what you want to know so we can answer it on the air. It's been real, guys. Have a good one. See ya.